coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Forests and flowers exclaim, mountain and meadow the same. Oh, earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, maybe soon. Coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again. Standing before him at last, trial and trouble all pass. Crown at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Okay, let's go to page 510. 510. 510. 510. Tell it to Jesus. 510. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over tears and darted? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You'll know whether such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks and widen? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that too many eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You'll know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Number 4. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, for Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. And let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day that you're able to bring us all together to worship you, know you, love you, Lord. Thank you that that the members of our church are God-abiding, fearing you, Lord, for you are our guidance. Lord, be with the pastor as he preaches today. Be with him as he teaches us and preaches to us the word of God. And be with all of us as we continue our service today. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Hey, we have some requests. Five, five, three. Good enough. 553. Ooh. Just a closer with the 553. There's a new one on me. Imagine got me on this one. Jesus, keep me, I'm all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, me walk close to thee. Though the world toil and snares, falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me but burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me no more. Guide me, gentle Spirit, on to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a close walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my lead. Daily walk close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Another request? Okay, brother.
107.
107. Oh, yes. I miss that song. Eternal Father, strong to save. Yes, oh, brother. Amen. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm is bound a restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, cry the Lord of ill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs our main. Why mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on. sent to spread abroad the firmament. Oh, when, oh, man, and by thy might save all who dare lay angels lie and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril on the air. O Trinity, O love and power, our brethren's shield and dangers are, above and tempest far and foe, protect them where to where they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea. Amen. Any requests? One more. How about you, Ruth? 467. All right. 467. In times like these, where the Lord is with us, in times like these. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor, be ever sure, be very sure, your anchor holds. Is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure, your anchor like these. You need the Bible. In times like these, be not idle, be very sure, be very sure, your anchor solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. I'm very sure, anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. I'm very sure, I'm very sure. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Welcome to Castle Rock Baptist Church. You're not lost. You're in the right place. It just looks different today. We are at Castle Rock Baptist Church today. Any testimonies that you would like to share? We had a good time of fellowship and meeting with the trustees and our church secretary today. Keep in prayer for us as we update a couple of things and keep working on that. But it's always a sweet time of fellowship every time we're in that office. Amen. Any testimony that you would like to share? Sister Ruthie, yes ma'am.
Yesterday I got to go out with a group from Logan Heights to go invite people to VBS, and it was such a blessing to get to see these families and these children. A lot of them are new Christians. And so a couple of them, a girl, she just got saved last week, and she was out going inviting soul winning. And her stepmom just got saved 2 years prior, and she was the one encouraging her to go soul winning. So it was really an encouragement for me to see that God is still at work, and to see that he's still changing lives. And it was so encouraging to see their fire. Like, they had that desire just to go share the gospel with people. And they're in that area of San Diego. They're in Logan. And they actually just started. So they are out of a mission that started from another Spanish ministry in La Mesa. But they were so excited to get to help us, and it was such a great reminder for me to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, seeing their desire to want to share it with others.
Amen. Thanks, Sister Ruthie. I was waking up from my sleep, from my 4 hours of sleep, when Brother Shandell texted me the video of what was going on in this building yesterday. It was amazing, pretty amazing to see that. All right. Any other testimony? Let's sing a song and then we'll get back to our testimony time, okay? How about Five ninety-two. We'll sing one verse and then we'll take another testimony. Sing verse one.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
All right. Another testimony before we sing verse 2. Anybody else? Brother Romel?
But I guess it's good in the sense that they know that there is a church here that we exist, and
that is a blessing. Amen. Verse 2. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Another testimony before verse 3. Yes, it's a friend. Thank you, sister friend. Verse 3. When the conflict here is ended and a race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a good song. Let's have the ushers come and serve an offering. It's good to see Brother William again tonight. He told me he'll be here every Sunday night, and here he is. Amen. Brother Pat, can you pray for the offering?
Father, we just thank you for the team. Thank you for the Lord that we come to your house to worship you. Lord, we just pray and ask you to bless this offering. We just pray for the dear Lord.
Amen.
Desire planted deep within our hearts. You pray in faith and wait for God to move. But time passes and you wonder, did he hear me when I called? Should I even have prayed that prayer at all? Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater answer when it's time with what is best. You never pray a prayer your Father will not answer. He can't ignore his child's earnest request. While you're waiting and believing for what you thought was best, trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. Sometimes God will answer just like you prayed. Then other times what's on his mind is a better plan, another way, a greater. You're waiting and believing for what you thought was best. Trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. You're waiting and believing for what you thought was best. Trust God if he says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. Oh, that there must be a greater yes. A greater yes.
Thank you, ladies. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, finally. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, reading verses 1 through 10. I pray that this message will be a blessing to every one of us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would stand to honor the word of God, starting with verse 1 all the way to verse 10. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Wow. Thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Look at verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The title of this text or this message is The More Excellent Way. The More Excellent Way. Brother Jerry, can you pray for this message, please? Amen. Amen. We left off this text from chapter 12, where Paul mentions when he's talking about the different gifts, with the issue in the Corinthian church of them about boasting about their gifts and thinking and trying to usurp another person's gift or ministry. And he says, he begins this chapter by ending up and saying that there is a more excellent way. There's something that is better than all these things, than all these gifts that the Corinthian church members were boasting about. The Corinthian church members were divided over their gifts that God had given them. So Paul says, let me show you something that is better than speaking in tongues. Let me show you something better than prophesying. Let me show you something better than faith. He says in verse 13, in verse 1 of chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In chapter 14, verse 22, we've seen what the purpose of the tongues is. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. This is for you to be reminded, the tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. So tongues, then I want you to notice it says tongues of men. Tongues of men are the languages of men. There are many languages that we speak. All you have to do is move to another country, and you'll hear another language. As a matter of fact, not even a country. Sometimes if you were to go to the South, you know what you'll hear? It's English, but it sounds different, right? You go to Canada, and they're speaking in English, but for some reason, it does not sound the same, right? You go to the Philippines, you go to any university in the Philippines, you know what you'll hear the professors speak? English. But it doesn't sound like the same English that we speak. I mean, just in this country alone, you don't have to go too far to see that there are different variations of English. When Sister Margaret is here, you know, with her English, British accent, my daughter Zebia is always fascinated when she speaks and she tries to copy her with her British accent. And that's just English. Think about it. I think the language Afrikaans is the same. It's like an English, but if you look at how they spell the words, it's not the same, right? But nevertheless, it's a language. And just imagine throughout the entire world, from Genesis chapter number 11, God has created all kinds of languages for us to speak. But on top of that, the Bible speaks of a language of angels. Other creatures besides mankind have their own language too. We have at home, we have this alarm system that when it senses emotion, we have a machine that barks like a dog in the back. It's plugged in the back. So if you were to sneak in front of our house without calling me first, and that motion detector senses your movement, you'll hear dogs barking in our backyard as if we have dogs. But every time that alarm gets triggered, our neighbor's dogs, they begin to bark too, because they think we have a dog in our backyard when we don't. But there's a language that dogs speak, you know? There's a language that only animals can speak. But the Bible says there's a language of angels. Angels have their own language. But even languages and tongues, the Bible says, even if you have that gift of understanding and interpreting language, but if you do not have charity, you are become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. What's the point of a language if it's not to be understood? Amen? Part of the reason why, imagine as a preacher, one thing I'm working on and I have to constantly develop myself is speaking a language that everybody understands, you know? I try to avoid, scholarly terminology and scientific terminology, because my kids will call me out on it. They will say, "Dad, what is photosynthesis?" You know, or something like that. Even as a preacher, the language that I speak has to be something that is understood. And I was in my graduate studies, when I'm reading, I can tell a book that's written by something that is very scholarly, very educated, because the way they write is not the same as you would read if you were to go to a community college. The textbooks are the language of the textbooks are different. But as a preacher, I have to speak a language that hopefully all of you understand, right? But the Bible says, even if I was the most eloquent speaker, which I'm not, even if I spoke 3 or 4 different languages, which I don't, if I do not know how to love, if I cannot manifest love or charity, all of my skills and knowledge and languages are of no use. Because what purpose is eloquence if you are sounding like a brass or a tinkling cymbal? Your intention is not to be it's not to be understood, but simply to be heard. Verse 2, and it goes the same thing with prophecy. The Bible says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, of preaching, of explaining the Bible, the Bible says, and understand all mysteries. Now in the Bible, we've talked about the 7 mysteries that are entrusted to everyone that is called to preach. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When we were in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. For those of you that missed it, let me just remind you the calling of the minister of Christ. Look at verse 1. So let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of money. No, right? Stewards of buildings. No, right? Stewards of the mysteries of God. In the Bible, there are 7 mysteries that are that can only be found in the Bible. Okay? And that can only be understood within the context of the Scripture. One of them is the mystery of godliness. Christ becoming man. God becoming man, that's a mystery. How do you explain it? How will you understand it? You can't. You can't explain it. You just have to accept it, that God became a man. The mystery of the indwelling Christ is another one. How could God, the creator of all things, be inside of you? How could something that is larger be contained in something that is smaller? Remember that? Those are mysteries. But even then, the Bible says, even if you could understand all mysteries according to verse 2, and you have the gift of prophesying, of simplifying things and causing people to understand the Scripture, and even if you have all faith, it says in verse 2, even if you have all the faith. Now in the Bible, if you go to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, how many of you remember Jesus Christ said that if you had a faith as that of a grain of a mustard seed? You remember that? Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Look at that real quick. Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus Christ said, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, look at the power of faith, okay? Ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to your place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out by prayer and fasting. God, Jesus Christ, spoke of faith as if it is something that is really powerful, and it is. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. What could be greater than faith, right? But in our text, Paul said, even if you have all faith, all the faith that you can have, even if you have it, so that you could remove mountains, but if you're not able to love, you are nothing. Look at verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you know what that is? That's pure religion. Go to James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27 defines a pure religion. James 1, 27, look at this. James chapter 1, verse 27, he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, if you want to practice religion, that's what you do. You visit people. You care for people that are in need. You know, you take care of people. Well, if that is the case, I will argue that the most religious people are not necessarily Christians. Right? Not necessarily Christians. But the Bible says that even if you had pure religion, even if you're the kind of person that likes to feed the poor and visit the fatherless and the widows and provide for their needs, and even if you give your body to be burned, you know what that is? That's martyrdom. You know, there's a lot of people that would die for a cause. You don't even have to be a good person to die for a cause. I know a lot of gangsters that die for their cause. They would give up their lives to die for whatever gang it is, like the mafia or whatever, the MS-13. There are a lot of young men that would die for the Sureño gang, for the Norteño gang, for any cause. People would die for a cause that are not even good. But even if that is you, that you're a martyr, you consider yourself a martyr, and you're good to everybody else, you feed the poor, but the Bible says in verse 3, if you are not able to love, and you have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So in Paul, when he's dealing with this church members that are divided, they were arguing about their gifts, about the things that they were boasting about, their ability to give, their ability to speak in tongues, their ability to heal, their ability to form and to be a governor. And, you know, even with all those things, Paul said, I have something that is more excellent for you. And that is the ability to love. Verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity, that's a hard one, right? You know, the true measure of a person loving somebody is when you endure. When you endure that person despite of the things that are not likable in that person. Suffereth long and is kind. Can you be kind to someone who is mean to you? That's rough. There was a young man, about 23 years old. He was arguing with me. He was arguing with actually one of my workers initially. And then he was arguing with the nurses. I couldn't help it. I had to step in. And I was talking to him as if he was my son. Hey man, just relax. Your mom's probably waiting outside. You want to make a phone call? I can get you a card, a PIN code for your phone so you can call her so she's not waiting outside so long. I was talking in that tone of voice to him, this 23-year-old young man. And he answered back to me, I'm not talking to you. He started to cuss me out, started to challenge me to fight. Yeah. How many of you have been there? When you're nice to somebody and that person just... That's a test of Christianity. That's a true test of Christianity is when you don't return that same anger. And I did return that same anger, unfortunately. I lost it and I had to yell at him and, you know, but true love, true charity is kind, despite of. That's how you know, we haven't reached that point of perfection in our Christian life yet. Because you know, you and I know that one person may not, what do we say, tick you off, but there's always that one person who will tick you off, will throw you overboard, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's always that. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. We all have a person in our lives that. Oh, we're fair and we're kind to everybody else, right? And we try our best to be a good Christian, a good loving Christian. But isn't it, there's always that one person, right? And regardless of how you're feeling spiritually or emotionally, when that person opens up their mouth. Exactly, Stu. That's when you go, you put your fist in your mouth and you just bite down on your fist, right? Because the tendency is for you to answer something, to treat him the way he's treating you, right? Or the way she's treating you. You want to answer her back the way she's talking to you. That's human nature. But to love somebody is to be able to respond in kindness, despite of. Charity, verse 4. Envieth not, suffereth long and is kind, and then charity envieth not. You know, true charity or true love seeketh not her own, in verse 5. When a person, when the person right next door or your next door neighbor or the person sitting right next to you ends up with something better than what you got, you know how you know you love that person? That you exhibit Christian charity is when instead of being envious of that person, what that person received, you're thankful and you're rejoiced with that person, right? Isn't that what we talked about? What Paul talked about in verse in chapter 12, when one part of the body suffers, all the members suffer with it, and when one member of the body is honored, the entire body rejoice with it, right? But that's the character of true of charity. Charity envieth not. How about this one? Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't boast. It's not boastful. It's not puffed up. Sometimes when we receive something good, sometimes it's not the best to tell the person right next to you about it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Especially when that person has the same struggle as you, and you all of a sudden, by God's grace, has been pulled out of that struggle, and the person right next to you is still going through that struggle, it is not a good idea to tell that person, oh, look, I'm out of my bankruptcy. Why? Because that person that's listening to you is still going through. I'm just using it as an example, bankruptcy. You know what I'm talking about? If God has rescued you from bitterness, and the person right next to you is going through bitterness, you may want to be sensitive and be aware, right, of what the person right next to you is going through. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't behave, it's not weird. It's not odd in its in behavior. Seeketh not her own. Charity seeketh not her own. I've shared with you before, the key to having a united and growing church is when every church member cares about other person first before caring about what we want to happen. If that becomes the rule in our Christian life, when we decide on things, it's not what I want, it's not what's good for me, but what would be might be good for that other person. That's the characteristic of charity. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That's relative to how we feel, right? How has our week has gone. I tell my coworkers and my wife and my kids too, when I'm coming from a 16-hour shift, please don't bring up a problem to my table, to my ears, because more likely than not, I'm not going to react the right way I'm supposed to react. Why? Because I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I haven't slept. Oh, by the way, the kids are so smart. They figured out a way. If they want a toy, right? And if I've said no to that, or if their mom had said no to it, you know what they would do? They're tricky. They're smart. They would ask us when we're half asleep. Because when we're half asleep, we say yes to everything so that we can stay in bed, right? And they learn that if I ask my mom when she's still barely waking up, she's probably going to say yes. And then my wife wakes up, and then one of the kids will remind her, "Mom, you said yes." Like, what did I say yes to? Well, you told us that Gianna could come over, or Gianna, the girls could have a sleepover, or something. And then my wife would say, "When did I say that?" But it's the same way. I know that's kind of a silly example, but it's when it comes to to dealing with people. The Bible says charity is not easily provoked. Now, it's one thing to respond in anger because you're tired, because you're having a rough day, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It's completely another to be like that every day. You know what I'm talking about? We all have bad days. We do. We all have bad hours. And if I respond to you the wrong way because you caught me on a bad day when I haven't slept, I'll apologize for it when I find out later on. But unfortunately, some church members are just, you know, some Christians are just, it's not even that. They're one day, they're like that. No, 7 days out of the week, they're like that. And when do you stop, right? When do they change and they don't change? But that's when you have to exercise charity, right? Charity is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Here's one thing I have to watch out for. Individually, for my soul, here's one thing I have to watch out for, and I you may be able to relate with this. When we hear something, because we are human beings, we tend to judge prematurely. It's easy to assume things about somebody, right? But the Bible says, "Charity thinketh no evil." You know what's a good rule for Christians and for our church? When in doubt, consider that person does not have any ill intention against you. When in doubt, always think of the other person. Don't always assume that other person is thinking bad about you. Because most of the time, you know what we do? Maybe I'm the only one that does this. You tell me. Maybe I'm the only one that does this. How many of you are like me? When a person upsets us, right, and we haven't dealt with that person yet, how many of you go home and has a difficult time letting it go and forgetting about it? And you go day after day after day, and week after week after week, and month after month with that person, and with that incident with that person stuck in your head, and with that incident stuck in your heart, unfortunately. Are you with me? Am I the only one that goes through that? And it depends on the tragedy, too. It depends on the incident. Some incidents are just so horrible, it stays in your heart for years until it's dealt with. Amen? But the Bible says charity thinketh no evil. Majority of the times when I thought evil of somebody, because of what I've heard, because of what I've assumed that person to be, majority of the time I'm wrong. I was just thinking it in my head. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of times we calculate things in our mind. We don't even know the facts, the complete facts, but we've already made a judgment. And when we see that person, you're already formulated, that person's like this. And that person's looking at you like, why was she looking at me like that? Why is he looking at me like that? Why was the tone of his voice like that? I have no idea. And you yourself, you're not even aware of how you responded. You're not even aware of how the tone of your voice came out. But because you've been thinking about that person, about that incident, which gave you those negative feelings, you're not aware of it by the way you answer. How many of you know that people are smart? That most people are smart, right? People are sensitive. People are aware more than you think they are. I've shared with you about the eyes. Some people have a real good gift of discernment. You can tell. One of our church members came in today. He was very apologetic and said, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I came in late today. I'm so sorry. And I told him, brother, it's okay. You're here in church. I'm happy you're here in church. But by the sound of his voice and by looking in his eyes, I know there's something going on with him. I don't know what it is yet. I'm gonna pay him a visit sometime this week or next week. But I know there's something going on with that person. I just know. Because every time he comes in here, there's something different about him today. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know people like that? They come inside and there's something about that person today. Right? And it could be that. It could be that person is thinking about something, been simmering, been cooking in here and in here about something that's not even there. Right? But charity thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. In verse 6. You know, one of the things I have to learn is this. When I hear something bad about another ministry or another pastor or another church, you know, and even no matter how true or how realistic the facts are, I always say, yeah, there's got to be more into it, right? There's got to be something about it. I know a pastor that had his wife left him, young pastor, younger than me, being used by God in a church of, I heard, hundreds of church members, maybe almost 1,000 church members. His wife leaves him with their daughters. She returns back to the United States. He stays in the mission field. And now, if I don't know any better, I would say, oh, you see that preacher? See, there's something wrong with him. He must have cheated with another girl in the church. He must have looked at another woman in the church. Oh, he must have not loved his wife more than he should. But if I implant that in my mind about that other pastor, you know, what do I really know about what happened? And the truth is, nothing. I have no idea what really happened to their marriage. So for me to start thinking, oh, there's got to be something wrong with, you know, is there probably something wrong? Oh yeah, they wouldn't split up like that if there was nothing wrong. But for me to start, you know, harboring that negative feeling about that other pastor because his wife left him, that's not charity. That's evil thoughts. The Bible says in verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Then look at verse 7. This is the best one right here. The best one and the toughest one also. Here's the characteristic of charity. Charity beareth all things. Beareth all things. It's like a love of a mom to a child. for the 9 months bearing that child. You know, when you know you have an option to abort that child and you decided to carry that child anyway, that's charity, bearing all things. Believeth all things. Believeth all things. How about that? The best illustration is with my kids again. You know, when my kids tell me about their swimming meet, they say, "Oh, Dad, I got seventh place, or I got third place in my breaststroke on my..." I wasn't there. I saw the video. But for me as a dad, I have to pay attention completely and completely believe that that seventh place means a lot to her. You know what that is? That's charity. The exact opposite of say, "Oh, really?" Back to my phone. Do you understand? But charity believeth all things. Next one, hopeth all things. Hopeth all things. When things are not going right, when things are falling apart, charity causes you to be hopeful that things will get better instead of giving up. You know, a lot of... I come from a broken home, from a broken marriage. I shared with you with that. I'm not ashamed of that part. And I've gone through, my brothers and I, we've gone through some rough times during that. But just out of example, I mean, can you imagine how many marriages will be saved if... each spouse just hopes all things, that things will get better? Amen? How many young people that are incarcerated today, that are drug addicts today, do you think would there be if parents, while they were in their care, said, "I'm not going to give up on that child. I'm going to keep on trying until I guide that child the right way." But you know, a lot of parents, and you say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know any parent like that." You're blessed to be in a good neighborhood. You're blessed to be brought up in the right family. But I got to tell you, a lot of parents today, they give up on their children. Their children goes one way, and they reach that, you know, I feel for them. I don't know how it is. When my kids grow up and they become teenagers, they go through that rebellious time in their lives, and you know, I don't know how it's gonna be. All I could do is pray and try, right? But I feel for those parents that go through, their children would go the wrong way, and they would give up on them and say, "You know what? I'm done with you." But love or charity hopeth all things, hopes that things will get better. Amen? Endureth all things. These are hard things to preach about. Charity endures all things. Boy. Verse 8. Charity never fails. That sums up everything in verse 7. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. You know, one day we are going to be like Christ. Okay? And really, that is the culmination. That's like the sum total of our Christianity. When we come face to face with our Maker, when we receive that new body. I think it was Sister Mary asking me about heaven earlier. She said, if you don't mind, Sister Mary, she said, "Pastor, you were talking about heaven this Sunday morning at Sunday school, about the personalities in heaven, how we're gonna see church members and family members that are saved whose characters and personalities are not very likable. Right? And she was asking, Pastor, what's gonna happen? Is that really gonna happen when we get to heaven? You're gonna see all of these people that are saved, even the ones that you wish you're not gonna see? And I said, yes, you're gonna see them. Will they be the same? No, they will not. Yay! You know why? In heaven, there is no sin. That person that you're avoiding to see in heaven will not be the same person they were on earth. Amen? Because the way we are on earth, there's the sin factor. The way we are on earth, there's bitterness, there's anger, there's malice, there's all kinds of things still in our heart, in this flesh. When we get to heaven, all those things are taken away. So every bitter individual that you came across in this life, if you see them in heaven, or when you see them in heaven, they won't be that same bitter individual anymore. So yes, it's okay to go to heaven with those people. Amen. And you know what's even better than that? The Bible says we shall have a new body. Sister Mary asked me, "But how will I look like when I get to heaven?" I said, Sister Mary, when we get to heaven, we are going to have a body of a 30-year-old. Yes. I'm not going to get to it doctrinally and how that comes to be. But biologically, when you reach the age of 30, that's when you're at the peak of your health and your sanity of mind and presence of mind. And that's when everything is working in your body. Okay, so go back home, dig up old photos of you when you were 30. When you were 30, dig up old photos of you, frame it, because that's how you will look like when you get to heaven. Amen? Even the kids, they have no idea how they're going to look like when they get to heaven. But when they get to heaven, they're going to be 30-year-old men and women. Brother Pat. There's Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 8 is where you'll find those things. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the fact that Jesus Christ died at the age of 30, at 33. When he reached that age of 30 is when he began his ministry. Okay, that'll be your scripture. And the Bible says when we see him, we shall be like him. Right? In his resurrected body, he had that perfect body at that time. We're going to have that same perfect body when that time comes. Can you imagine that? You're walking around as a 60-year-old today. You're looking at, my hair is so gray. I got to tint it. I got to see Sister Jeannie, you know. Or you're complaining of my back. And then some people are wearing hearing aids. And then you die and you wake up the next day and you're in heaven. You're going to be like, you see a mirror through the clouds. You're going to be like, no way. That can't be me, right? But that's called the blessed hope. That's called the blessed hope. And until then, I guarantee you, we will never really learn what true charity is. It's only when that time comes that we will understand what charity is. Amen? Every head bow, every eye closed. I hope I was able to encourage you today. But if you're not saved today, there is no such hope for you. If you've never placed your trust in the name of the Son, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and been washed by His shed blood, you don't get to enjoy the things that we're laughing about. You don't get to enjoy the things that we're having fun from the scripture about. You don't get to, because you won't be there. So if you're not saved today and you need to come to the old-fashioned altar, as the piano plays, the altar is open. Or maybe you're saved today and your health is failing and you're getting aged. Or maybe you're young but you have all kinds of problems in life. I tell you, those things will all go away. The Bible says, when that which is perfect is come. When that which is perfect is come, that perfection will come. That perfection will come. No more glasses. No more hearing aids. No more contact lens. No more cane or walker. No more pills. You imagine that? That's what charity is about. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you need to come. Maybe you're starting to feel tired and just exhausted about things in life. Maybe even about the ministry. Thank God for the joy. Thank God for the remaining strength, remaining time that He has given us. And use it for Him. Let me ask three men again, or three individuals, even ladies, if you want to lift up your voice as we close in prayer. Just come together as a church again. Just lift up your voice. Just three people, lift up your voice and pray in behalf of the church. Anybody else? Father, thank you for this time that you've gathered your body. Thank you for leading us spiritually every step of the way. Father, help us to be aware, be conscious of your presence in our midst, not only Sunday after Sunday, but day after day of our lives. Help us, Lord God, to love one another. Help us, Lord God, to exhibit the same love that you've shown us when you died at the cross, when you lived amongst us, and when you taught the disciples the last 3 years of your life. I pray, Lord God, you help us to exhibit that same charity. Father, we are not perfect. By no means we are perfect, but Father, I pray that you help us to be better every day, every year. Help us to strive to be better. Help us to place our trust in you and help us to believe in you, that you are able to change souls, that you're able to change hearts, and you're able to change characters. And I pray, Lord God, that you help us to get closer to your word. Help us to get closer to your Holy Spirit and be aware of his presence. Continue to bless us as a church. Continue to bless us as individual Christians. Strengthen us, Lord God, as we continue in the ministry and get the things done and accomplished, whatever things that needs to that we need to take care of this ministry that you've entrusted us. Thank you, and I praise your name for bringing people into our lives to encourage us. And yes, thank you also for bringing people into our lives that to challenge us, to help us to be changed and be molded, even the characters that are unlikable. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to see that you are the potter and we are the clay. And you're molding us day after day. Father, sometimes it's painful to be molded, but Father, I pray, God, that you help us to see your hands at work in our lives. Dismiss us with your blessing now. Bring us back this coming Thursday for the Vacation Bible School. I pray, Lord God, for the souls that will be coming, the ones that are not saved, that you may use this Vacation Bible School to bring young souls to hear the gospel and that they may know you as their Lord and Savior. But Father, even the parents that will be bringing them over here, that they too may hear the gospel, and that the members that are participating and that have volunteered their time, I pray, Lord God, that you bless them, bless their heart, bless their efforts, and bless their lives as they allow you to continue to use them. Bless our weekend this on Thursday and Friday and the rest of this week. Dismiss us now with your blessing. Keep us safe on the road and bring us back on Thursday. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.